And welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Yo Bros, okay? Hi, I'm Ronnie. Ronnie Karam. Guess who I'm with? His name is Ben. Ben Mandelker. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. How's it going, baby?
Good. I'm working on my lighting here. I think I improved it today, although
it does look
I may make some adjustments as we record.
It does look better. I look a little darker, which I like. Add to my mystique.
You're brooding. It's wonderful.
Everybody, we are getting ready, for the holidays, Christmas. Ben's already in Hanukkah. I think Hanukkah's over, right, Ben?
Does it ever really end? It's sort of alive in me at all times.
Yeah,
but so yes, it's over, technically.
That's over, but Christmas season's about to start everything. You know, lots of holidays, okay? So we're getting ready for that, but we're also getting ready for 2022, because guess what? We're back on the road, okay? We're starting in New York City, January 27th, for the Golden Annual Crappy, the Annual Golden Crappy Awards. So come to that. That's going to be a really fun show. Then after that, we're going to New Jersey, then Boston that same weekend. Tons of shows, 21 cities. So go check watchitcrappens.com for ticket links and get those. Join us there. It's going to be really fun if Omicron doesn't F us over, okay?
And, well, fingers crossed. But we're taking all the safety precautions, by the way, at our shows. So that's also something that's reassuring to know about. Because you know me, I'll take safety precautions even if there's just a walk to another room.
Yeah, you've had your mask on during a video meeting. Okay. So,
this is way before coronavirus. I just take safety precautions in general. I'm like, well, time to go to the kitchen. Better zip up that hazmat suit because you never know.
Chemicals. Yeah, you really never do. I'm playing Find the Smell in my house right now. It's not like dead smell. It's just like musty. Like there's something. I don't know if it's in the sink. I don't know if it's in the fridge. You know what? I'm musty. Hunting it down. But then you get used to whatever the smell in your house is. So I have to walk outside and then smell the outside for a while and then walk back in. So it's like a lot of in, out, and sniffing. So I get it. And then also tonight is Take a Seat. That's our show every Monday night. It's at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's our live show. That's where we don't just straight up recap. We just talk about whatever with you guys. You guys come talk to us. Just get the Green Room app. It's free. And
it's the last one of the year, by the way. We're going on going on holiday next week. So sure. There will be no Green Room next week. So the last one of 2021. By the way, we are going on holiday next week, but there's still going to be Bravo content. We actually have recorded a hilarious, hilarious recap that's going to span three episodes worth of the Candy Coated Christmas, which is the Food Network's first ever Christmas movie. So, and then we also have our recap of the Real Housewives of the North Pole that we did with Brian Moylan, and that will also be up next week. So we actually have some really fantastic stuff coming at you.
We're still going full steam all the way through to the new year, and we did that with Matt and Jake from Reality Gaze, the first one. So
yeah,
go check them out.
Oh my god.
And so the Brian Moylan thing was for his podcast 12 Gays of Christmas, but we are going to repost it on ours, okay? Because you know what, that's what this gay does for Christmas.
It's the holidays, okay? It's the
also,
holidays.
A special announcement that has nothing to do with trying to sell you guys anything. I got Botox, okay? Let me tell you how thick-headed I am. It didn't even work. Look.
What do you mean?
Look. All I got it in was here in this. We're on Crappens on Demand today. That's why I'm telling him. Look, it's right here. I just got it right here on this middle anger line, you know? But look, it's still... I mean, what the hell? I'm going to need like an elephant shot to get to kill these... this big ass face.
Well, I think it looks smooth and luscious, Ronnie. I think you look wonderful. Wonderful.
It moves, man. Okay. It's not supposed to fuck. Kill it. Just kill the muscle. And
you
then
know what?
I walked
That's
in there. And everybody in there looked like a real housewife. They had these crazy huge lips. And the lady said, well, what do you want me to do? And I said, literally everything. I said, I want to be like on Botch where you just come out with a magic marker and you just mark me up and down. Okay. Start at my head, go to my toes, suck it out, lift it. Lift me up by my back skin and just cut everything. That's what I want you to do. And she's like, oh, well, you just signed up for Botox. So, I mean, Botox wise. So I was like, well, just this part then. And she's like, well, how come you just said everything, but you only want that one line? I was like, listen, there's not much I can do with my face. It's the rest of me. Okay. I'm stuck with my face. I'm stuck with my face and my head. I've accepted it. Do the rest of me. So I'm going to start a GoFundMe to just get it all sucked out, darling.
Just a big lipo moment. By the way, speaking of lipo and Botox, we should also mention that tomorrow we're recapping The Real Housewives of Miami episode 1. that's new on our schedule. So if you haven't watched it yet, that's your homework for tomorrow, everyone. That's it.
Okay. Well, let's get into this nonsense, Ben.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
This was
wonderful,
a big
beautiful
episode.
Nonsense. It really
two
was.
2 hour episode. I don't know if there's an episode next week. Maybe that's why this one was 2 hours.
So was it two full hours? Oh my gosh.
Well, so yeah, it was 2 hours. It was two full hours on the old schedule there.
Well, shit.
Pretty insane.
That's crazy. So maybe this is two episodes. We don't even know yet.
We don't even know. We're gonna see. We're gonna see how long we talk for. So far, we've already got at least one episode of pre-talk going. So on the next episode, we actually start the recap.
Yeah, I'm just in that kind of mood today. It's almost Christmas. I mean, this is the week to get everything done. So that's where my brain it's also here. My brain is also here, but I'm just like, we're on vacation. Let's do whatever the hell we want to, man.
Listen, I saw West Side Story last week, and I've just been like snapping my fingers ever since. That's where my brain is at. I'll just start snapping during this recap. I'll be like,
well, as long as you snap like a white guy, even when there's no music going on. Isn't that weird?
I'm on my 1 in 3s, weirdly enough.
Okay, so I'm not here to convince Lisa I'm innocent or a good person. That's previously Jen. So here we are. We're in Park City and Meredith's house.
Yeah, we're at Meredith's house, and she's like, well, this is starting to look pretty. Because her assistant is in the kitchen, like sort of not passive aggressively, but sort of territorially arranging flowers. He's kind of like pulling flowers and putting them in vases in a way that's like, this is my sink area. And if any other gay tries to come into Meredith Mark's house beyond Brooks, I will slice him. Okay, I earned this spot.
Yeah, and he's doing like cucumber juices and stuff like that. And then Brooks comes in. He's like, Mom, I need to finish this design. So I'm wearing my sunglasses inside in the kitchen. So you want to look at it? She's like, oh, that sheep, Brooksy.
Wow, you know, I do take some umbrage with the Corey Hart song, Wear Sunglasses at Night, because I never had a discussion one way or another what kind of eyewear I wear at night.
So we see his design, and we get an answer to our question earlier in the season when we saw Seth wearing a blazer with Brooks Marks just on a ribbon hanging off a button across his chest.
Yeah.
Yes, he has taken a knockoff H&M blazer. And he has just added a Brooks Mark ribbon with the button.
Yeah.
Like across, and he's drawn
just across lapel to lapel. It was almost like a tight walker. It was like that documentary about the guy who walked the tightrope from the Twin Towers. It was like that, except on a lapel. And so Meredith goes, oh, well, that's chic. He's like, yeah, it's a blazer with my classic side tape across it. I'm like, classic? It's a year old, your whole thing.
Well, that's a lot when you're 20, you know?
That's true.
But that kid is as full of himself as I am Domino's. I can't with this kid. Also, did you notice that he's wearing pants that are the same as the dress that Jen wears later in the episode, which I thought was an interesting
parallel. I did not notice that.
Yeah. So he's like, this is supposed to be a self-portrait of me. And he's drawing himself basically like people with really good self-esteems draw themselves with like a perfectly square chin and face. And I'm like, God, I would kill for that self-esteem.
He does actually have a very square jaw, to his credit. So he's like,
he's very cute. He's very cute. But I feel like people, like normal people, even if you're like really hot, you draw yourself maybe not as hot. I don't know. Like,
I think that's
there's some humility in you.
No, I think a self-portrait is just like, I'm going to make myself as hot. You know that Van Gogh was like 60 pounds heavier. He's like, this is like my goal self-portrait, minus the ear. So... Yeah, that's why he cut the ear off. He's like, I'm just 3 grams away. So he's like, yeah, it's my self-portrait. And Meredith is like, it's like, wow, it looks just like you, honey. Although I don't see the little baby bottle and the rattle. Maybe we should draw that in there, my little cherub.
This drawing of you is as old as you. It's been 5 minutes old. And he's like, where is this talent even coming from? So then Jenny comes over.
It's let me tell you something, Ronnie. It's chic, it's unique, and it's totally on flavor. That's what it is. It's on flavor.
So Jenny comes over and Meredith offers a drink. I'm drinking cucumber-infused vodka, but we also have a berry-infused drink. Those are not infused drinks. Now, I don't want to... This is like going to be a 20-hour recap, so I'm warning you right now, everybody, okay? That's not infused. That is cucumber juice with some vodka in it, okay? That's not infused.
And then when Jenny comes over, the assistant immediately doesn't like her. The assistant has this look on his face like, ugh. Well, I guess I'm arranging flowers for two women now. Wish someone had told me that. And he like throws out a flower into the sink.
Yeah. He's like, I guess I'm not getting credit for my infusions. So great. Glad I came to work today. Fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. Because he says that Brooks made them. So Meredith goes, well, because of all the craziness that went on in Vail, I just wanted to have a nice, easygoing girls' night with just three girls and a little baby over there making a self-portrait. And, you know, this is where you just complain about your husbands and how they make gross jokes all the time and want you to move to Mississippi and Ohio at the same time. Just girl stuff.
So Jenny's like, are you going to eat with me? Because I feel lonely eating by myself. That's the point. I'm going to watch you. And then Brooks is going to be watching you on a baby monitor from the other room, making the finger down his throat like he's going to vomit face. Oh, yeah, you're eating? Disgusting. Be back.
Hey, blah! Jenny. Blah! Jenny, Brooks drew a picture of you. Here it is. She's like, is that me on a little surfboard with a giant head? Yeah, he's really great at capturing your essence.
So, Jenny, tell me what's going on. Vail, there was so much going on. I forgot to ask you how it's going with the sports child issue.
She's like, oh, well, it's still going. I mean, he told me, okay, I understand you don't want to have more kids and aren't able to, and a surrogate mom is out of the question, adoption's out of the question. So what about a sister wife?
Wait, out of the blue? He asked you about a sister wife? Out of the blue? Well, how do you really dip your toes into that pool?
I know.
You know?
Why isn't Meredith's reaction like, wait, what? What sort of question is that? But she's like, wait a second. How did he prepare you for this? Did he sit you down? Did he take you to a lovely Italian tutorial?
Did he just have TLC on all the time? How did he prep you? And Jenny's like, yeah, you know, he told me it's been legal since last year. And then Teddy, I know you love this part. The dog was on the table just barking at them.
Just barked. Teddy just gets up on that table and just starts barking. Like, there's probably like another toilet that's overflowing. And Teddy's like, roof, toilet, leakage. Oh, he's funny. He's a funny dog. We never really had a conversation one way or another about whether he's trying to tell us anything. But we just like him on the table.
It's the reboot of Lassie. It's just sassy. Nobody ever listens to her. Nobody ever listens to the dog. Yeah. The kid just dies down the well. Timmy dead in the bottom of the well.
Well, Brooks is at the bottom of a well. Well, that's where he likes to do his work, sassy. Stop interrupting.
So Meredith is like, what, Teddy? What do you want? You want another wife, too?
Jenny's like, thanks for laughing at my painful situation that you didn't even care to address on the 6-hour drive to Vail when we had nothing else to do.
I think that her reaction should have been just like these ladies' reactions, which is, fuck no. Tell them fuck you. How about that?
Yeah, okay. Exactly. So then... Wait, what did I write? I was crazy when I was writing these notes because Lisa shows up. She's like, hi, are we ready to party? And then and then Teddy runs up to Lisa and she's like, hey, Teddy loves me. You don't have to like me. Teddy loves me enough for both of us.
What's up, Jenny? Hi, Jenny. Your food, Jenny. We're not going to be anorexic today.
Sir Meredith is like, wouldn't you like a cucumber drink that my little baby boy Brooks made and Brooks alone made? And if you happen to see another gay boy in here, I'll tell you one thing. He did not make a cucumber infusion. Okay, stop scowling at me, assistant.
Is it a cucumber diet coke? And Jenny's like, oh, how's business? They're just making small talk. And Lisa's like, oh my God, you know what? The last 3 days have been insanity. It's been crazy. It's been nuts. Business is crazy. Never stop.
Jenny, are you excited about your faux launch? I'm so excited for faux. She's like, I can't wait, girl, even though you're totally mispronouncing it. I don't know how many times I have to say faux instead of faux. Faux. I love faux.
I love when Lisa thinks she's got a really good one in the diary room. she's like,
well, I'm so glad she's getting us together. Faux. Since our friendships. Sympho!
And she kind of like moves her head like,
yeah, nailed that. Nailed that one.
I know how to pronounce it correctly, but the pun doesn't work that way. So I just have to commit to saying faux outside of the diary room until that, so I can sell it. Okay? Love that.
I like the place in LA called 9021 Fa.
Yeah.
That lady is just like, that. No one's going to pronounce it right anyway. So just call it, just go with it.
There's a lot of punny pho places in LA, like a lot. Of course, there's like Pho King. That's a classic. That's probably in many different cities. And there's like, I'm sure there's one that's called like Forget About It, you know, all that, all that good pho punnage.
So they start, Meredith is like, well, Jenny and I were just having a follow-up conversation from the day in the spa where the fish were eating our feet.
Wow! So she tells, Jenny tells Lisa about the sister wife thing, and she's saying how it, like, it really hurts. And Lisa's like, wow! By the way, right now what you all miss is that Ronnie got so into Meredith Marks that his earphones just flew off his head and almost hit a little baby. I hope that wonder where Sassy is now to tell everyone about the national emergency. So Lisa's like, just knowing you guys, I would never in a million years expect Dewey to contemplate that. He seems like so in love with you.
Yeah, I like that. It's like she doesn't feel bad enough that you're going to be like, wow, so he hates you then? Oh my God, I didn't expect that. So she's like, yeah, it's the last thing I expected. And she says, if John asked for a sister wife, John wouldn't need a sister wife because he wouldn't have a first wife.
That's for sure. We still doing fa puns? Huh?
That's for sure.
Did you hear that, Johnny? So then Meredith is like, well, sister wives or no sister wives, I think you need to have a little fun tonight. And if anyone ever looks at Meredith Marks, they say that's one fun lady. Okay, so come on, let's have fun. We're going to sit at a table and have fun at the fun table, okay?
Yeah, so they start talking about sex. And Meredith is like, Lisa, do you have a good sex life? And Lisa's like, oh my God, yes. It's all in iCal. You can see everything that we've done and they're going to do. It's all there. And so they're, Jenny does not dress up for her man. And they're like, oh my God, you don't dress up for your man? Let's dress you up for your man.
Sometimes I dress up like Daryl Hannah and pretend that Seth is Gordon Gekko from Wall Street and have him recite nasty things to me. Oh, it's so hot.
So they go try blonde wigs on Jenny, and the producer asks Meredith why she has a blonde wig on hand, and she goes, why wouldn't I have a blonde wig on hand?
Bless this show for having too much content to indulge in this, like, annoying Real Housewives of Beverly Hills quality scene right here. Like, this is what we sit through in Beverly Hills, right? Like, oh, let's put on a wig and let's prance around on the gram. So Jenny ultimately puts on the wig and she's like, damn, I look like a hooker. So then now we, like, move to a different part of town where I have to say I absolutely love this music. This is up there for me with a yeah, but totally it's very different. It's like very chill. I have not committed it to memory. I can't like sing it to you guys, but if you haven't watched the show yet, just know that this music at this scene is the music I like.
This was the non-awe music, I think, in this one.
Yeah, it's the non-awe. Also, I was like, do it.
I love the music on the show. They also played my other favorite, the one that Meredith used when she walked, they used for Meredith when she was walking across the ice to get to the group, and she was just walking really slowly, and they were playing that like Native American, like, I love that. So let's see, 2 days later, All right. Non all music. That's my note.
Non all
music. Jen drives and she's calling somebody and she's like, hey, girl, I'm driving Heather. Myself. Can you believe it? Oh, yeah. She's talking to Heather. She's like, oh, my God, I'm driving myself. Isn't it crazy? By the way, girl, after I met you for lunch, I called Lisa a few times and she sent me a text to make sure she had my number. And then she sent another text about coffee. And then finally, 4 days later, I just got a text and I said, I can meet. It said I can meet today. I mean,
yeah, basically, yeah, that Lisa was just ghosting Jen. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere, it's like, okay, I can meet. The producer said I need to meet with you because the producers want to get as much time with Jen as possible. So Heather's like, so let me tell you, you want real talk right now? Okay, it's real talk with Heather time. Okay, ask her, do you want to put our friendship in a different category right now? Or are you saying you don't consider me the friend you considered me a week ago? Just try that, Jen. Jen's yeah. like, absolutely.
So Jen tells us that she talked on the phone with Lisa for an average of 3.5 hours a day, every day before
lot.
This, which is crazy. So Lisa comes into the restaurant. What was the restaurant? Oh, it's Carson Kitchen.
Carson Kitchen, because I'm not even trying to be funny. I literally thought when the guy said, welcome to Carson Kitchen, I thought he said, welcome to Prison Kitchen. And I was like, wow, first a prison themed restaurant. And second of all, like to take Jen Shaw there. I was like, that was so rude. I was like, it could not possibly be Prison Kitchen, but it was called Carson Kitchen.
Carson Kitchen. It's like prison in your car, you know, like
yeah.
when you're stuck on the freeway or whatever. So Lisa walks in and she's like, I'm just meeting a friend. So she goes in. They keep that one up on Salt Lake City all the time. Go somewhere where there's nobody. Do you have a reservation, man?
I know. Oh, and I blessed this very sweet host slash waiter who kept on interrupting them like with just a million offers because Lisa sits down, she's like, hi, Jen Shaw, how are you? She's like, oh, I'm good as I can be right now. And then immediately the waiter's like, so can I get you started with anything? It's like, just some water. Okay, do you want to start with some crispy chicken skins? Okay, yeah, that'd be perfect for dipping. Okay, great, now I'll get out of your way. Maybe some ketchup or mustard in the future? Is that a condiment that you would like as a selection? Okay, yeah, I'll just step over here.
Yeah, this waiter is really working it. This waiter has been on here before. So,
has he?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's like a production person or what, but this waiter I recognize because of the hair and the eyes, you know, the eye makeup and stuff. I think they were in the one where they went drinking last year, remember? And Heather was explaining how shots are all watered down. Anyway, don't know why I remember it, but you know what? I'm on to you, Salt Lake City.
Maybe it was Giuseppe.
I'm on to you.
Maybe it's Giuseppe. Maybe it's Giuseppe, the chef, the Italian chef who pops up at every restaurant. He's like, oh, just kidding. It's me, Giuseppe, with eye makeup on.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So let's see. Jen's trying to give the attitude here. And Lisa's like, hurry up, Jenny. And a silence. You know what? Can I have some water with some aspartame? That would be great. Trying to get off a diet cock. So she's like flicking her hair, like which Lisa does whenever she's nervous. And Jen's like, yeah. Well, I'll start. It's been really hard. Like, it's been hard on not just my family. That's the part that hurts me the most. You know what? Just so you know, right? You're innocent, right? Like, they have to like prove that like, it, you know, you're in like innocent, like. Innocent. I'm just going to say innocent. I'm going to stick with the innocent and hope you don't throw something at me.
All I need right now is for my friends and loved ones to be there for me. Okay, waiter, not you, but I will take that straw. Thank you. Because this whole thing is crazy. This whole experience has shown me who my real friends are. So Lisa's like, well, after a lot of conversation with John, he's like, Namla, you'd be the first one to meet her and be by her side. And this is like, not you. You need to go meet with John. And I thought about what he said, and he's right. Taking this time to process doesn't make me a bad friend. It makes me a real friend and not a fake friend, not a faux friend. Get it? Remember? And I think it's better for Jen because I'm in a better space to have a conversation with her. I just needed to process. I'm like, lady, stop saying processing with Jen. Like, that is part of what the trauma she just went through.
I know. She could be served one any second now. So
she's been taken to processing, okay? So Lisa's like,
she's going to be processed for a very long time.
I just felt like a prisoner of my emotions.
And Lisa tries that. First of all, Jen with her big, oh my God, woe is me. Everybody needs to be nice. No, ma'am, you ripped off old people. So shame on you. Okay. And as far as innocent until proven guilty, here's what I say. You are innocent until Hulu makes a really cheap documentary on you that I watch.
Dana Wilkie. Okay. Yeah. And I have to say, this seems kind of amazing. I think that like Lisa Barlow, I still feel like she is an underappreciated housewife, because here is Jen Shah, who has been arrested by a triple threat of agencies of Homeland Security and FBI and NYPD. She's arrested. She could be going to jail for 30 years. Who knows when we will see her? Who knows when she will have her freedom again? And Lisa comes into the scene ready to one-up her about the fact that Jen didn't return her call. Like, that is kind of some, like, next-level housewifery right there.
Yes. She's going to be the victim. And she's playing it very well. She's like, you know what? But, like, I'm sorry, but I had to process. I had to think back on some stuff because my feelings are, like, still hurt on some stuff. And she's like, Lisa, if your feelings are hurt, I don't know about it. And she's like, yeah, but I haven't even talked to you much since my cat's party. And then we see 3 weeks earlier at the clip of Lisa saying, you know, I see stuff on social media, like, about that designer and stuff that you physically abused. And Jen's like, that was a up and you brought it up. Why would you bring it up? And then so Lisa's like, I don't even know where I am with Jen. So Jen's like, screw what happened before Vail. I mean, come on. I mean, I think this supersedes and overrides anything that happened before Vail, okay? No, it does not. You don't get to be an asshole and then you're a bigger asshole in another part of your life, so it supersedes the part where you were an asshole before.
I think that what you're trying to say is going to jail is not a get out of jail for free card, okay?
Yes. You can apologize to the court, but you still have to apologize to, you know, the person you mistreated before you were sentenced.
So Lisa goes, she's like, I know I've been your friend, I think, and I'm going to choke up right now because it feels like an effective technique. And when you came at me that hard at that thing, I felt very broken by you. I couldn't sleep. I was like, that whole night, I felt to be a mom. I felt to work. And I'm like, emotionally wrecked, Jen.
Yes, and she's trying to cry. So now we've got like a battle of the fake cries. Because she's doing her, Jen! Jen! But she always kind of looks like she's smiling. She's like, Jen!
Yes.
Jen, I couldn't sleep. I used to have to be a mother, too. I used to have to wake up, and I used to have to get the Diet Coke out of its crib and feed it a french fry from McDonald's. Okay, it was very difficult.
And then they start one-upping each other because Jen's like, I am too. I'm still a mom. I still work, but I have a napkin. I have a napkin. I have a napkin and a fork. I have a napkin and a fork and a spoon. And I spy a door. I spy a window. I spy a window.
And Jen's like, I still have to go to work. I still have to raise my family. I mean, those old ladies aren't going to rob themselves. And Lisa's like, yeah, but you know what? You having feelings is okay. But I was also having feelings. Does that make sense? Like, can you understand where I'm coming from? Okay, thank you for the side of blue cheese. Can she also get a side of blue cheese? See? We're like blue cheese sides.
Listen, I absolutely understand where you're coming from, but Lisa, that set aside, when the shit implodes, like, nothing else matters. This is the lowest point of my life. And you go silent? No, I don't go silent. I just make a very low frequency noise that goes like this.
I never go silent. I just put a sock in John's mouth and he stays silent in the bedroom until I tell him he can leave and get a refreshment.
Listen, I'm here today. I'm here today and I've been there for you for the last 9 months minus 4 specific days. More than anybody else has been there for you. I have been there for you, but not too closely because I'm not involved in any of this case.
And Jen's like, but was it even real? It's like, oh my God, yes, John, it was real. You know what? Sometimes it's unpopular in my friend group to be like, Jen, stand up for Jen. She goes, oh my God, if I'm unpopular to be friends with, then don't be friends with me. Which is not what she was saying, obviously. And Lisa's like, no, that's the point. That's the point you're missing, okay? You said to me, like at the kids' photo shoot, you said, I know you take heat for being friends with me. And that's what I'm saying. I've never complained about it. I've never brought it up to y'all. But it's true.
She's like, but that's how you made me feel. She's like, Jen, I've had your fucking back, okay, Jen? And like, I've had your back even. And she's like, but I've had your fucking back before we were even friends, before I even knew you, okay? I just, any Lisa I saw, I said, are you gonna be Lisa Barlow? Because if you are, I already have your back. I didn't even know, I didn't understand the concept of you. I had your back.
Yeah, and Lisa's like, listen, lady, okay, the point is, I didn't call you back because my feelings were hurt. And so Jen's like, this is worse. So then Lisa's like, you know, does it suck for Jen that she's going through this? 100. But does it minimize what she put me through? Like, no. So Jen is talking about how she reached out to everybody. And Heather was the first person who took my call. It was Heather. Which she knows is just going to really piss Lisa off, right? Because Jen's like, well, Heather's my only real friend now. Mm-hmm. Like, Heather proved to me she's my only real friend.
My coffee just arrived. I'm very excited, by the way. Speaking of real friends, coffee is here. I had your back all this time, coffee. All this time.
So Jen's like, she reached out to me. Like, and you know, like, I'm trying to fight for my freedom and my life and my kids and my family. You stole from old people. Okay? I don't know how many times I'm going to need to say that today, but there will be no pity on this face for you, ma'am. Mostly because I probably can't move half of it by now. I think this recap has started to kick in my tox.
Okay? The Botox is like, I think we're needed right now. So Jen's... Lisa's like, I hear you and I understand. Okay? I hear. She's like, well, so why wouldn't you just pick up the phone? She's like, Jen.
She does do that.
Jen. Listen, hey, listen. I was busy with Sassy. Sassy had something important to tell me. Okay, we had to go save Brooks. Turns out he was just in the shower. It was nothing special.
He was down in Madewell. It's a very expensive store. Okay. So Jen's like, yeah, I expect my family and friends to be there. So she's, you know, cries and tries to get the audience, you know, feeling for her. Nope, I don't think it's working. And then she goes, you know, like, how do I even trust her going forward? How do you trust her? What the
I know,
hell?
That's what's so amazing. I just love these, like, these mental gymnastics that these women are doing. The way that they just pivot against each other. It makes me feel like she's not going to be someone that I'm looking to call, because this entire experience has proven to me that she's shown me actually to be, like, a fair weather friend and a friend that's not going to be there for me. It's like... You became friends with her 6 months ago.
I know. She makes it sound like it's an honor for her to call you and whine about her fucking problems for 3 hours. Because yeah. You know that that's what she... You know that half of it is Jen. But I don't know. 3 hours with Lisa and Jen. Because you know Lisa is also like, well, you know, here's how I feel about this. They probably don't even hear each other when they're on the phone. I imagine they're both talking the whole time. That yeah, said... No, Lisa- You're not doing anyone a favor by letting them be the one that you dump all this shit on, Jen.
Yeah. So now we go over to Heather. She's carrying paintings into her living room. And there's a guy. Right now I wrote down, there's a guy in her living room that has blankets on her sofa. And it turns out to be her brother, Tyler. And she's like, hey, you want to play a game? And so they play. It looks like dominoes, but it's not dominoes. I don't remember what kind of game it is. I'm sure someone could.
I play this with my Meemaw, and I forget what it's called.
Rummy Cube? No.
Rummy Cube, yeah. Rummy
Cube. It is Rummy Cube. Okay, that's what I thought it might be. I was like, I'm the board game person, but I'm at a loss for this crazy game. So Tyler is her older brother. He's not a creator. Dun-dun-dun. And he – sorry, Ronnie. I saw your little grimace like – Why, Ben? Why must you make a pun like that on our podcast?
It was going so well. No, I was looking at an email popping up. It wasn't you, hein?
So,
see,
I had one sip of coffee, and now it's all going to shit. So he's been living
like, I wasn't criticizing you. I was ignoring you. I know, sweet, let's hug. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, so Tyler has been living in Switzerland with his two boys for 15 years, and Tyler wrote Heather a letter. And the reason why he wrote the letter is because it was serious, because the letter opened up saying, for the gravitas of what I'm about to say, I'm using the letter form.
I'm not writing back anybody who uses the word gravitas either. Okay. I'm just saying that, right? I'm just warning anybody who wants to write me a damn letter. Okay. Keep that to yourself. But also, has Tyler been crying for 15 years in Germany? Because Tyler looks like he's just been sobbing, and he has the saddest face and demeanor of anybody I've ever seen. He just walks around like, do you like these sheets on the back? Do you want to play a game? How about Rummy Cube? I'm like, did they shoot this 6 times? Like, did he have to start the scene over and just cry and cry and cry? Because he looks like a damn mess.
He's been working in a wooden clock factory for 20 years and he's lost all sense of joy.
He's like the saddest cuckoo in the clock ever. It's just like, cuckoo.
Cuckoo. He definitely looks like a character actor. I feel like he'd be a character actor in some like Ridley Scott movie where he's like, yeah, you want to know where Johnny went? I'll tell you where Johnny went.
So I feel like he's a character actor in a movie where he's guilty. You know, like crying, murder. Like about to admit the murder, that he was the murderer or whatever. So, yeah, he wrote her some letter and she did not write him back. So this letter said, I just wanted you to know, because of your decision to leave Mormonism, I have been inspired to make a similar choice. And she's like, well, I mean, the thing is, like, I just saw you last April and you were like, for all intents and purposes, still a good Mormon. So, like, when did this even happen? And he said, it happened last December. After hearing about what, you know, you had come to that conclusion, I said, I better look into this because I trust you, you know, and that's aspirational for me to get moving. And so basically, but Heather set a trend, okay, by leaving the church. Also, Heather has also set a trend of just not getting back to people when they're in need. That's why this Jen storyline cracks me up, because everyone's like, oh, wow, look at Heather. She's such a good person getting back to Jen. Really? Because you never talked to your sister that we saw 2 weeks ago. And then your poor brother is like, I'm leaving Mormonism. And you don't write him back, but you write the old lady burglar back?
Tyler's like, you didn't get back to me, although I did get a letter from Lisa Barlow. That was strange. It's like, oh, whoops, we got back to the wrong people. It was like Freaky Friday. So Heather's like, when I decided to not practice Mormonism, I didn't tell a soul. The last person I would have told was my brother. I'm like, you didn't tell a soul. You were on national television talking about it. What do you mean you didn't tell a soul? We all knew about it. He watched the show. He heard, or someone watched the show and told him. It's just like, I didn't tell a soul.
Yeah.
Except for the producer, who then broadcast it to America. And we had New Yorker articles written about us.
Yeah. I didn't tell a soul. I told a million souls. So he's like, basically, she tells us about him that he moved away with his wife and they were very, very, very Mormon. Okay. They even did like Zoom church in German for 3 hours with their kids. Yeah. Like they were like super into it.
In church clothes.
She's like, so what happened? Yeah, in church clothes. So he's like, she says, what happened? And he tells her, oh, you know, I just started like Googling stuff. And she's like, oh, you're not supposed to Google anything. That's like the first rule of Mormonism, which I just love thinking of those people in those covered wagons coming up, you know, up to Salt Lake City. Like, don't Google. It's like, you know, there's like 11 commandments and that's number one.
Don't Google and welcome to Hawaii. So Tyler was saying like, yeah, so I started looking him up. He was married to a 14-year-old. That's weird. They don't teach that at the church. And that's the problem. And so she goes, do you feel duped? He goes, yeah, I do. And now I'm all over the place. I mean, we were taught not to, you know, look up anything, because to look up anything would be like, it's like anything anti was the tools of the devil. And then they like put up a drawing of Joseph Smith on screen, which I thought was like really funny that they put it up as if like, I don't know, like the way they put up headlines from reality TV, they're like, look, and here's Joseph Smith. I don't know why. It just was like a very funny thing that they just decided. They'll be like, in case you were wondering, here's the guy who started Mormonism.
Yeah. And the brother is talking about how he's still traumatized and, you know, he's still going through it. Like one day he feels great and the next day he feels terrible. And then the next day he's playing Rummy Cube. And then the next day he's sobbing onto the Rummy Cube. And he talks about how he felt like he basically raised his kids in a cult, you know, which makes him a terrible parent. And she's like crying, you know, like real tears, real housewives tears. Go figure. So she's crying. And it was a nice scene. You know, I think that anybody, I guess it depends on your level of religious upbringing. Mine was pretty harsh. And I still feel like that a lot of days too, where I'm just like the one who's like, no thanks. But even if you say anything, like you're going to hell. Like I still have that in my head. And mine was nothing compared to what these people went through. So I can only imagine.
And the thing is, he was really bummed because he's like, you know, I wrote that letter, which was really hard because I had to write a letter. And I was sad because you never, because I really needed you and you never got back to me. And so her whole thing was that it was the confirmation of her biggest fears, that she's like, she said like that she never told anyone that she was struggling with all this because she didn't want to affect anyone else's faith. Like, I don't think that she wanted to be viewed as the one who's now going to start peeling people away from the church. She just wanted to like go on her own journey. And so she felt, she kind of felt, I think, some sort of guilt that she had sort of robbed him of his faith, or like taken him, like popped his bubble or something like that. And she says it's really hard being a role model and a traitor at the same time, which that's pretty profound, Heather Gay.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I feel like this when I have Coke, because like, you know, you're like, you want some Coke? And then somebody does Coke. And then like 2 months later, they're like, do you have any Coke? And you're like, oh my God, this is what I did to them. So this is like the Mormon. I'm just trying to relate in some way.
You know? Yeah.
So
I guess yeah. No, it's like, fine. You've got to find a connection, you know?
Coke is my Mormonism. Okay. So basically she's saying, you know, she's still dealing with it too, and she's never telling anybody leave the church. She's just saying that she couldn't be happy and stay Mormon. And so she's like, but you know, it's just like I wanted to honor our dad and our family. And he's like, I'm not laying it on you. It's not your fault. You haven't saved my family. You've saved us. You haven't ruined it. Just one. I just won. Rummy Cube. Yes, bitch. Rummy Cube. Finally.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Let's see Joseph Smith play some Rummy Cube, huh? So then on the topic of religion, we then go over to Jen Shah's house where her family is praying because it's the last day of Ramadan. And so we're seeing them pray, which is interesting for me because I feel like I have not really seen that family being like religious, not coming from a place of skepticism, but we just have not, you know, it's cool to see that. And so Jen says, the fact that I'm going through the most difficult time of my life and Ramadan is happening, I'm looking at this like a blessing. Like, I need this right now. I need this right now. So they've been basically fasting every single day for 30 days. And
if you get extra points for like praying in a Louis Vuitton prayer shawl.
You do. I think so. I think so. So they're eating, and then so Jen and Sharif decide to go downstairs to talk, and Sharif is basically like, well, I know we said we talk about things as they come up, so I think we have to start thinking about making a move, and it has to be quick. I need us to get a place where it could be a small spot where we don't have to pay as much. I'm like, now, Sharif, as far as we can tell, you're not involved in this crime, but you're definitely sounding like you're like Madeline Stowe. In like 12 Monkeys being like, we have to get you across the border, you know, like it definitely sounds very getaway car-y, right?
But actually, well, no, he's saying we can't keep spending zillions of dollars a month, lady. Like you have to pay $2 million. We have to move. And she's like, no, I mean, like, I guess. And of course, Jen wants something. So now here come the tears because she wants to keep the rental mansion. So she's like, I guess I'm just worried because like downsizing. I mean, our home is where so many people consider home. You know, our parents, our family comes here. It's a hub. It's a hub. And now I've failed my family and I can't. Poor people have family over too.
Yeah.
Okay? But it's called
a futon. Yeah, she does not want to sacrifice her lifestyle. This is kind of an amazing scene that like here she has to, if between choosing for her, like to fight for her freedom, essentially to save money for her freedom or to downsize her house, she's going to choose jail, which is ironic. Right. But like she wants to save the big house, which might wind her up in the big house. So
she wants to be able to move from one big house to the next big house because it's really hard to go from big to small to big. You know, it's like a goldfish is traumatized. Once you take it out of the aquarium, you carry it in the car in a little plastic bag, then you put it in another aquarium. Just aquarium to aquarium.
She's just very confused about, like, someone told her jail was the big house, and I think she's very confused on what prison is really like. So she's just like, so now
she's like, I can't wait. I'm just now saving up so I can move to the big house.
She's now making herself sound like she literally has like a youth hostel or something. And she's like, I employ the vast majority of my family. I mean, it's probably upwards of $50,000 a month. I mean, I give them work. I give them telephones. I give them lists of old people to call up and to offer them websites so they can, you know, do things with them. I should stop talking, shouldn't I? Yes, Jen. Yes.
You really should, because even I, you know, I don't know anything, and I'm on high alert. I'm like, wait a minute. So she's putting that out there for some reason, right? Like, she's putting out $50,000 of expenses to support her family. So I'm just curious. I'm really curious how this is all going to play out in court, and I cannot wait to go back and, you know, get yarn and pins on my wall and start stringing it all together. Like, remember when she said that? She was talking about this. But basically, he's like, babe, like, we're going again. And he keeps doing this. He always does this, like, wipes his hands down. He's so frustrated. He's like, babe, we're going against the behemoth that is the federal government. And I know that they're wrong. And we have to prove them wrong. But we need resources to do that. That's what we have to do. She's like, can't we sell one of the nephews? No, they don't. They don't accept one of the nephews. Can we sell our aunt? Can we sell the grandmother something? He's like, nope.
How many kidneys does Stu have? Can't that work? So
give them Stu's kids.
So she's like, the scariest thing for me could be like, this could be my last Ramadan, like I have with my family. And am I gonna see Reefy go to med school? Am I gonna see Omar graduate? Like, this is the shit that keeps me up at night. And I don't understand any of this, because anyone that knows me knows that it isn't me. The things I've been accused of, it's not me.
Yeah, I do not feel
it's you.
For her at all. Yeah, it's you. I feel for her kids, but I don't feel for her. So he's like, I know. So they kiss, and that's over. So then, dong! So Lisa arrives at, like, a metal grate thing.
It says crater entrance, which is about the most apt metaphor for this group of friends.
Yeah, it really is. Especially this friendship, because it's a workout day with Whitney and Lisa. Hi, Janae. So they're going to go work. Blake's like, hi, I'm Blake Christian from Cuvée. Welcome to the Homestead Crater. Cuvée just wants to make you happy.
A Homestead Crater? Is this a crater that, like, arrived on Earth wearing a bonnet, like, churning butter? It's just like crater plain and tall.
Only one rule in the Homestead Crater. Don't Google Homestead Crater.
The crater just had like a covered wagon that it like landed on Earth in. I mean, not the crater, the meteor. So whatever this crater is, whatever this Mormon asteroid that landed in Utah has created an underground cave pool. And so Lisa's like, am I going to have to get my hot what? Do I get my hot what? So she doesn't want that, because she made her hair nice for crater yoga.
Yeah, and she's talking about how she's trying with Whitney, but it's so hard because Whitney just keeps wanting to fight with her, but she's really trying. So yes. Whitney comes, and she's like, is this a setup? It is water. People have a habit of threatening to drown me in bodies of water.
I can't. I can't with Whitney holding on to this, the stupid comment that Jen Shaw made. Like, Jen Shaw was not planning to drown you in a pond.
But it was twice. Once she said, if you do this again, they showed the clip where she's like, roll your eyes at me one more time, Whitney, and I'm going to drown you, bitch. And then there was also the thing of like, I'm going to drown Whitney in that pond in the back of her house.
So anyway, so they're there. And then like two frogs come out of the pond. They're like, ribbit. By the way, Lisa, I can't believe what Angie is doing to you. Ribbit, ribbit, ribbit. Oh, my God. Frogs. I can't believe that.
This is a setup. So they did do wacky exercise, like meditating on paddle boards or whatever, or yoga. And then we see Lisa's like, you know, everything just ended so abruptly and vow. And Whitney's like, yeah, I hated how it ended. The non-smoking sign never went off. And she's like, yeah, you flew coach. That was gross. And we get a clip of Whitney going, I think that Lisa saw a sever, and then she tried, can we start this again? And then we flash back, and she's like, yeah, what was hard for me was because the night before, everyone was saying stuff, and then everyone did this, like, whole 180. And in my perspective, that was a whole flip-flop.
Oh, good. I was looking for my flip-flop. Thank you so much for getting that for me. Listen, I'll further elaborate on that, too. I went to her room, to Mary's room, and I said, Mary, I read things, and I have a few questions for you. And I might have more, and I need to know, do you or does anyone at your church think that you're God? And she vehemently said no. And then I asked her a few other questions. I asked, Do you love me enough for both of us? She said no. And I said, cool. And I kept it light. And then Sassy met me at the door and told me that Brooks had fallen down some stairs. Turns out he'd just gone down an escalator at the mall. And that's it.
She's like, but did you bring up the camera and stuff? Yeah, I did. Lightly. Because, you know, I was keeping it light. So, you know, then I was like, does it bother you that, you know, people are talking about it? And she said that people have talked about her church for 30 years. And just to make it 100 clear, whatnot, I believe what Cameron told me.
Yeah, she goes, well, I know Cameron's friends with Angie, too, my best friend cousin, and I ask Angie for Cameron's phone number, and I just want to know more about what he said to Meredith.
So Lisa is mad, right? Because Whitney has now gone to Lisa's story to take it. Like, Lisa was just going to try and set Whitney up and that be it. But then Whitney took it further. But why is Lisa mad? She was trying to set Whitney up to take this information and blow Mary up with it. And so now Whitney is not only doing everything Lisa wants, she's like upping the ante and actually going to him and trying to bring Mary down. So I think, A, it's hilarious because Whitney's like, I will not be manipulated. So then I interviewed Cameron for 19 hours.
I know. Good job, I think that Whitney. Lisa's probably, well, Lisa, maybe Lisa wanted to be the gatekeeper to Cameron. Maybe she wanted to be the one to be like truly exposing the cult. Or maybe she's afraid of Mary. Maybe she's afraid it's going to come back at her. Or maybe she's just annoyed because Whitney accused Lisa of, you know, doing all these behind-the-scenes things with the caterers. And now here goes Whitney doing behind-the-scenes stuff with this guy in a cult. And it seems to be all, like, fine.
Right. So Whitney's saying that, you know, I felt like I was starting to have the same experience everyone else had with Mary. And I was like, if Lisa knows even one percentile of the things that Cameron told me, then I get why Lisa doesn't want to upset Mary either. She's a murderer.
She's complicated. It's like when you go to a restaurant and they have a Coke machine, but it's like digital and you have to press and it's like, do you want Diet Coke? And I'm like, yeah. Do you want Diet Coke with cherry? Or do you want like vanilla or all these other flavors? It's like, she's complicated, like one of those machines, okay?
Well, the rumors are that Mary and Robert are predators, which is why you have to wear mud when you go near them. They can't see you then.
And Lisa's like, what? And she's like, yeah, it is online. Take that, Mormonism. So Whitney's just going all in on this dirty work for Lisa. I'm loving it.
And the producer is like, do you feel comfortable saying some of the things that you've read online?
No, I don't even know if I'm comfortable saying it, because if it is true, I don't want to put my family's safety at risk. It's like what I said at Vail. Unless you tell us everything, we're all in danger. But this is reversed. It's like, unless I don't say everything, we're in. Can we start from the top?
So Whitney's saying that basically the church scares people into thinking that Robert and Mary are God, and that if they don't do what Robert and Mary want, that they're going to go to jail, or they're going to go to hell. Or
yeah.
Jail hell.
Which
hell
is, I feel like, how most congregations on various religions work. So Lisa says, well, that's interesting to me, because when I was in Mari's room, she said something to the fact with Jen, like, hey, see what happens when you mess with my church? You go to jail.
Yes. And Whitney's like, so it sounds like the rumors of Mary being a cult leader are probably true. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, when Lisa brought that up, Whitney said,
so did she have something to do with that?
you're telling me right now I should be concerned? Like, Whitney, she did not say that. She was just saying that, yes, like, Mary likes to exert threats, you know? Like, she likes to, like, be like, don't go against me, otherwise something bad's going to happen to you. But now Whitney's basically trying to make it sound like Mary might have been the one who turned in Jen Shah.
Yes. Also, Whitney was, again, Whitney was fine with all of this. She knew all of this stuff about Mary. Yes, she just talked to Cameron, but all of this stuff she's been sitting on because she heard all this stuff from the cousin who she's friends with. So Mary was just fine with all of this stuff until, or Whitney was just fine with all of this stuff until she got in a fight with Mary. And now it's suddenly so morally wrong. So people like choosing their moral side suddenly because they get mad about something. Shut up, Whitney. So Day of Jenny's, although these stories are fucking crazy, and I went on to Reddit and read an insane thread about this that was from last year of, like, when she left the Mary. So Mary and Robert just left for like 3 years. This is according to Reddit. Do not sue me, okay? I'm just telling you what I read. So they left the church for like 3 years, saying that she was ill. She had the same illness that her mother had, which apparently caused boils and all of this stuff. So she had to get out and get this treatment. So she was saying, it's desperate. I'm in a desperate situation. And God wants you guys to give us all your money so I can get fixed in the hospital. So that's why people were selling their homes and doing all of this stuff at that time to give them all this money. So then 3 years later, she shows up, and the way the person phrased it was like, she shows up with half the nose, blonde hair, half the body, you know, a different color, like skin bleaching or whatever, and refused to admit she had anything done, and said that God was just, God enlightened her or something. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. All these stories are so fucking nuts with Mary. My God.
This is truly an insane show on so many different levels. So now it's the day of Jenny's pho luncheon, and Meredith is on the phone with Seth. She's in the closet, and she's like, well, Seth, I can't reach my shoes. There's an upper shelf of my closet, so I need you or Brooks to help me, because I don't understand the concept of standing on chairs, okay?
Ladders are for men. And he's like, you know what you should do? You should get a broomstick. Yeah, get a broomstick. She's like, all right, I got a broomstick now. Oh my God, look at that. He's like, I got a real good view of your tuss now. Yeah.
Oh yeah, swat at that shoe, Meredith. Yeah, I get it. Meredith, yeah, that's hot. I like that long stick, Meredith, in your hands. Yeah.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's commercial.
So then Heather's picking out shoes with her brother Tyler, who's like this. And then we go to Mary, who is calling on a landline to Dad, her husband. And she's like, could you bring my coat? I mean, never mind then. And he's like, no, I mean, what coat? She goes, well, you have to ask first. I don't even understand. Do they understand what they're saying to each other?
Mary, what part of him saying what coat is you have to ask first? And then she goes, the Balmain coat with the grommets. And we all know Robert's not going to know what a Balmain coat is with grommets. And of course he goes, I don't know what that is. She goes, God help me. Me help me.
Me help me. I literally called God and he wouldn't help me. So
so then there's some sort of music. I don't know what the music is, but I wrote down the music is killing it today on the show. It was just whatever it was. Was this the music you were talking about before that you liked?
No, this was great. It might have been, yeah. The deep flute music or whatever. So here deep we are, flute. The International Peace Gardens. And neon green, it's Jenny. And she's like, Jenny. Oh my God, Megan. So this girl, Megan, oh my God.
She's holy, fresh off cut the Oregon Trail.
Yes.
This one, she's like, have I got a story to tell you about my brother who died of dysentery on the way to getting supplies across a river? Am I right, everyone?
So Jenny tells us how excited she is for this pho luncheon, and she really wants the ladies to understand her by getting to know her food and all of this. And so she's assigning seating, and then we go to Jen and Heather having a drink, and Jen's like,
it's like a pre-pho cocktail,
right? She's like, here's to peace day. And Whitney's like, oh, you know, I have nothing but good vibes. And we're like, wait a minute, Whitney's here? Whitney, yeah, with all the opinions is here? So then Whitney explains, even though I had strong opinions in Vail, after seeing Jen the other night, my heart softened because what I saw was a woman in pain.
So 3 days earlier, Jen is basically at Beauty Lab and Laser, and Jen is crying. She's like, going through this, truly? I know who my real friends are.
Jen, why are you trying to shove my face into the foot pool? Why, Jen, why?
Can I get some more water? I just want water, and now I know who my real friends are. Now I know.
So Whitney's, Whitney's like,
people have just dropped you. She's like, yeah, I haven't even talked to some of my family who are also my employees. I gotta keep my house. I'm just hurt because I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't do this.
And so Jen's like, I hope the invitation to luncheon today is genuine and sincere because I'm tired of being judged. Oh, just you wait. That part hasn't even started yet. So Heather's like, you know what? We're not the judge and jury. And if you tell me you're innocent, then you tell me you're innocent. Okay. And if you go to jail, then we'll deal with that then, and we'll cry about it later.
We'll get crying, lady. It's like, oh, here comes that Homeland Security officer again. Yeah, she goes to jail now. Cry. Start the grieving process now.
Would anyone like some more water in their glass?
Does anyone mind if I have Jen Shah's pho? Because she goes to jail now. You know, it is funny that Whitney is like, I did have all these opinions, but then I changed my mind. I kind of feel like she definitely does not allow that for other people, right? Because that is, I think you're allowed to change your mind. I think you're allowed to take in new information or have like perspective or have a moment where you say, you know what, I'm revising my opinions. But like, I feel like with specifically with Lisa, anytime Lisa says like, you know what I want to have for breakfast today? An egg McMuffin. And then she shows up with like chicken fingers. And then she's like, wait, you said egg McMuffin. This is a setup. You've set me up again.
You are manipulating me. So Meredith arrives at the fun lunch and Lisa comes in like a green flowy robe and leather pants. And she's like, oh my God, we're just like each other, Jenny. We're both wearing pants and a robe. Oh my God, Jenny.
Hi, Jenny's pants. So they're like, did you wear that outfit for Dewey? She's like, no, I did not. And Jenny says, because Dewey asked for a sister wife, I'm not going to reward him by dressing all sexy for him. Hell no. Because Jenny always has like a very mom way of trying to be sassy, right? It always feels like, she always feels like she's like in like Home Goods being like, oh, and here's what I learned that the kids say now. Hell no.
Yeah, my sister does that. She's a mom. She does that all the time. She's like, hey, did you see that dresser over there? It's thebomb.com. Like,
no. So Meredith is like, how's it going? I think that like you guys need therapy, or Jenny thinks they need, who cares? People are arriving. So Meredith is like, wait a second. Let me see there through those trees. It's not a toddler. Is that Jennifer Shaw?
Yeah, I think this is where we get the.
Yes.
And Heather's like, just walk and pray. Walk and pray. And then we see the clip of Meredith going, if you are going to invite Jen Shaw somewhere, do not invite me.
Didn't we all have this conversation not to invite me if you invite her? I feel betrayed, dismayed, and rather upset by it.
And she's like, but I'm just doing it as a peace card, Meredith. Boo-loo! And I don't want any drama. Boo-loo! She's like, but then why would you invite the person that snatched all the drama?
You just got Meredith. Hold on, I'm getting a call from my little baby toddler. Hi, Brooks, I just Meredith someone. Yeah, it was terrible, Mom. You got to work on that. Okay, thanks for the feedback. Bye.
So she's not going to leave because she's more mature than that, but she is going to glide through the lunch and not engage. So everybody's like hugging, and Meredith is like, hello, Jen, how are you? And they give each other like a little cold kiss. And Jenny's like, well, I invited you guys to the International Peace Garden today. And Meredith is like, really? Is Mary coming?
She's like, well, I want to have peace in my life, and I want to have peace in your life, and I wish that on everyone. And so there's like a very cold toast. And then Heather is like, you know what? I'm in this beautiful spiritual garden, and all I feel is this thick brick wall of pure tension. And the tension is palpable just between Meredith and Jen. And Mary's not even here yet. And oh my goodness, I have a rummy cube in my Louboutins. Excuse me one moment. Maybe that's what I was feeling.
Excuse me, guys. My brother just texted me. I'm not going to text him back. What were we talking about?
Excuse me, my brother's calling. Hold on a second. He needs to know how to use the... No, you can't put rummy cubes in the microwave, Tyler. Gosh, he really was sheltered.
So they've been waiting for Mary to eat, but they're not going to wait anymore because Mary's just too damn late. So they all go move to the table, which is like over a bridge and through a field and over another bridge. This cast never does anything close to a car or a door. Like, no. They have to travel. They have to make long journeys to do everything on this show.
Did you see that, by the way, Ronnie? I finally got myself in focus. That took me a moment there for people who were wondering what the heck I was doing on screen here. So, yeah, they have to walk over so many obstacles, and there's always lots of slats that they have to go through. So they're just waiting, and they're just going through it, and Mary is going to be sitting in between Heather and Meredith at the table. That's where she's slotted. And Heather's like, Jenny, were you not in Vail? This is actually a sincere question, because I actually don't remember you being on that trip. Were you on that trip with us, Jenny? She's like, yeah.
She's like, yes, and you're sitting where I'm telling you to sit. So Mary is there now, but she's like making her trek across the park. And so Jenny starts announcing the food and the dishes and all this, and a special drink with mango and lime and bird's eye chili. And Whitney's like, gross, but then how does the bird continue to see? This drink is manipulating me.
So now Mary Mary's approaching very slowly, and she's like, come on, little Jen. If you're gonna do something in a park, don't request formal wear. Come on. That says the woman who made everyone dress up in like haute couture to go to Walter's for a luncheon.
Yeah. So they start eating, and Mary's doing another bridge now. And so Jenny's talking about how they don't do fried stuff and whatever. We're just waiting for this to come alive because we know it's going to be fucking crazy, right? So Mary finally gets there, and everyone's saying hi. And Lisa says, oh, Mary, you're blonde. I love it, Mary. I love that you're blonde now. And Mary's like, we'll talk after. Okay. It's called a different wig. And she's like, oh my God, you look good, blonde. And so does Jenny. Hi, blonde Jenny.
Yeah, so we see the picture of Jenny in the wig again. And Heather is like, you look like an anime character. Yeah, can you tell I'm very, very, very white? Because I just said anime character. You look gorgeous.
And then Mary goes, oh yeah, with the slanted eyes. Love it. I mean, what the hell?
What? Like, out of left field, it was like, wait, what just happened? What
did Mary just say? And how does nobody say anything to that? I mean, that's just fucking crazy.
Yeah, that was shocking. But we've seen the previews for next week or for the next episode that Jenny is going to address this. But when she said, yeah, the slanted eyes, I was like, oh, wow. Wow. You just had to issue an apology that looked somehow like a New Year's invitation for saying stuff about like Mexican. What was she said? Mexican thugs last time in a way that just.
She said she's like one of those Mexicans. Mary. I mean, what the fuck? Like, how does production not say, like, how is nobody saying anything? It's the weirdest fucking thing. So Mary's like, Jenny says, oh, does she just say she likes my slanted eyes? Does she not know you can't say that? Like, if this wasn't my event, she'd be on the ground right now. Right.
Right.
So then Mary is telling Heather, you know, even if we left on a bad note, you know, I'm surprised that you could have a good have me back, which I mean, by tone, I guess means I'm glad you're being nice to me today. Who knows what the fuck this woman's saying? So Heather's like, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that they are also being served banh mi. And Lisa, so she's like, oh, everyone, we're going to have some banh mi. And Lisa goes, what's bonely? Tell me about bonely. I'm like, goodness.
God. So Heather's like, yeah, I didn't know what the temperature was going to be between us today. And Mary goes, you know my temperature. And she's like, well, I had hoped you'd just forgotten about everything because I just want to be at peace, man. Like, there's already just like so much crap going on. And she goes, okay, you know, I like that. I like you, Heather. I like Heather.
Heather's like, you want a toast to that? So Heather basically is like, you know, Mary does not hold grudges. She just basically like comes at you and then whatever. She's basically like a silent killer, right? So now Lisa's like, wow. Everyone's friends. The peace garden works. That's peace. Everyone's besties. Pass the bone lie, please.
So now they're having filet mignon pho. And Heather's like, oh my God, never in my life have I had filet in pho. Never in my life.
I've only seen this in anime movies. Wow, this is amazing. So Whitney is like, are we in reality or am I tripping on shrooms right now? Is this even real? Is everyone really being this fake? I'm like, Whitney, you're not one to talk about people like having like 180s. If you just had this thing with Jen Shah where you said you went to Beauty Lab and Laser and was like, she deserves some grace. And now you're upset that other people decide that they're going to be nice to people.
Yeah. She's like, Mary goes, oh, so are you saying you like everyone's faking it? Is that what you're saying over there? And Lisa goes, I heard that too. That's what I heard too. And Whitney's like, yeah, I just love how like everybody is like being fake. And Mary goes, oh, so are you sure we're all doing that or are you doing that?
Dun, dun, dun. No.
Good one. Burn.
Commercial break.
So Whitney's like, yeah, but I just think it is interesting that last time was very uncomfortable and heated, and clearly we are not okay. And like Heather and I left on our own, and I think it's interesting we are all pretending it never happened. You idiots flew commercial instead of taking the private jet home, and no one's rubbing your face in it. I would say that you're doing pretty well today, you know?
Yeah, and you are the one who talks shit about Jen Shah immensely, and now are like, she deserves grace. Okay, you're acting like that never happened either. Okay, so Jenny's like, well, I know it's awkward that we pretend that nothing happened, but I know that there's a lot that happened. You know, we missed Jen at the Veil trip, and there was a lot of talking going on. There was a lot that was said. And so Mary's like, so I mean, we need to just like re-hurt people now? Is that what we need to do? And Jenny's like, no, I don't want to hurt anyone. The purpose is not to hurt people.
Yeah. We just need to talk about it. So Jen's like, okay, let's talk about it then. Yeah, okay. So it's silence. So Jen's like, hold on. Okay. I had no idea anything like this would happen. Like, I've never been in trouble in my life. Like, I've never even had a speeding ticket. Like, I didn't go to jail. I didn't get booked in jail despite what was on the media. I went to a break room. What is that?
I know. I still don't understand this break room thing.
The thing she's holding on to prove all of this is crazy. Like, oh, the media said I was taken to jail, but I was taken to a break room, which means everything is a lie. Okay? This is all a lie against me.
And Mary, all of a sudden, is going to be like Jen's biggest ally. She's like, sweetheart, I could tell by the outfit that you didn't go to jail. Okay, I love your outfit, by the way. I love it. I love it so much. She goes, well, I thought I was going to Veil, not jail. Oh, God. Ooh, I was waiting 2 weeks to say that line. Oh, man.
They took me into a break room, and they asked me all about these people that I don't even, like, I mean, the names they're asking me, I'm like, what? Who? So, like, I didn't know what they meant, so I was just trying to answer their questions.
And Mary goes, so you were completely oblivious to everything? Really? And she goes, absolutely.
Like, really? Now you didn't know anything going on? It's like, no! She goes, really? Oh, we get my favorite sound.
It's like 110% is how much interest I'm charging my family to live in my home, and I did not know anything about this.
And Mary is like, Jen, this is a true story. This is feeling a lot like, well, from what we got, it feels like a whole like thing, you know. And so Jen's like, this is
true. I swear on my father.
So Mary's like, okay, you don't have a clue then what's going on. And she's basically laughing at Jen. And Jen is like, no, I have no clue. I mean, you think I'm going to show up at Beauty Lab if I know what's coming? And Mary goes, no one's saying that. But like after you were arrested, you didn't know why? And she's like, no, I had no clue. And she goes, okay, so they just randomly chose your name to think that you and Stuart were. And she goes, I have no idea. I don't know any of the people that they asked me about.
and Mary again is like, so you had no clue. So at first I'm like, wow, Mary is being like the surprise, you know, skeptic to Jen's face is kind of in an amazing way, right? And so Winnie is just has some pink glasses and she looks away, and then Meredith takes off her glasses. Like Meredith takes off her glasses like she's Mark Helgenberger. She's like, all right, it's time for me to gauge a little bit. I'm taking the glasses off. There's a lot that I may need to engage in right now. So then Jenny goes, well, we read everything and they texted to us all the information. And I want you to understand. She's like, who texted you the information? She's like, well,
Whitney was texting.
Yeah. And she's,
I am not the only person who is texting information. Like Lisa's lawyers texted her. She goes, I didn't get texted. My lawyer called me. Okay. You called your lawyer. No, I called my lawyer, but then my other lawyer called me and I didn't call them in the first place. And then another lawyer called that I actually left a voicemail for them. And then they called me. I left a voicemail, but they called me.
This lie in one sentence is so funny. I called my lawyer, but then my other lawyer that I did not call called me back.
How'd they call you back if you didn't call them?
Yeah, exactly. So Heather's like, well, I did not call anyone. You know, I just got information from Whitney. And everybody's arguing over shit that doesn't matter. Who cares?
Yes.
We're all talking about it. It was all over the news. We were all reading it. Okay.
They're being like hyper-confessional in like this pursuit of like blatant transparency and honesty to be like, no, we were doing this. We were all doing this. It's almost to be like, we're not going to be fake about this. We're being very real. We were gobbling up all the information and everything. And Jenny goes, well, the bottom line is you guys have news that she was arrested, okay? And Mary is like, excuse me, Jen, I did not talk about you.
Which, of course, we get a clip of Mary saying, I believe she's reaping that which a man soweth, that is what he shall reap. And she scammed old people. And old people that didn't have money, no remorse from her. And I never saw anything good in her ever. And I was scared of her because I knew what she was capable of.
She's like, Mary like went in on Jen so yeah. Hard. Like I never saw anything good in her. This is a woman who leads a congregation, a church, saying I never saw anything good in them, and I was scared of her. And now she's like, I never said anything.
She's like, what? It wasn't me. So Jen goes, thank you, Mary. And Lisa's like, Jen, everyone was talking about you. And Jenny's like, everyone. Now Jenny's like yelling.
Jenny's right? Like on so, one here a little bit. She's getting a little hyped up.
Yes.
And Mary goes, why did you tell her this? To hurt her? Because I didn't talk about it. So now they're getting mad at Mary because Mary is lying.
Right. And so Mary's like, yeah, stop hurting her. And Lisa's like, you know what? To be honest, friends are honest. If you're honest with friends, they're honest. My lawyer is calling me back, who I didn't call. I did not call him. So Jen's like, why do I even need to be here? Like, if you're just going to yell at me, I should just show up for dessert.
I know. I love a dessert burn. You know?
Yes.
And she's like, I don't know, I already feel like shit. And Mary goes, I don't feel comfortable talking about it. And she's like, I'm going to say one thing, and I had no idea what the fuck was going on. Can we please center me back into my own story? Thank you.
And Mary goes, I want to be real, okay? Are you upset with what they're saying right now? She goes, no, I'm upset because my freedom is in question, and I'm like fighting. I'm fighting for something bigger than this. And Mary tells us, do I hope Jen is innocent? Yeah. But do I think Jen's innocent? No. The FBI.
Just,
no.
No. Just shakes like no.
She's like, the FBI, Homeland Security, New York, whatever. No. No.
Just the state of New York. Yeah. We know. So Lisa goes, "You're not guilty. That's what due process is for." And Mary goes, "Oh my God, can I just please speak to Jen?" And Jen is like, "Now I have to go through the whole process, but a $2 million retainer." And Mary's like, "If you're not guilty, are you scared they might frame you? Are you going to get framed?" Which I'm sure that's like, of course, that's what Jen is. Well, if Jen were innocent, that's probably what she's thinking, right? She's like, "How did the fuck did they even come for me? Like, where did my name come from?"
Right. And that's what she's trying to make them think, right? So she's like, "Well, yeah, because I didn't even know what I was doing there in the first place." So, and Lisa's like, "Well, you know, here's the deal. Here's what happened. The feds came." And Mary goes, "Lisa, stop. I'm talking. You know what? I don't like that, Lisa." She's like, "What? I mean, listen, you know, I'm just saying, like, if the feds are versus Jen, like, that's a big deal." She goes, "I'm listening to her. So could you let her talk now?" She's like, "You are talking. You know what? We're all talking. It's a friend group. It's a conversation. You're talking in it because you're a friend. We're all talking like friends in a conversation." She won't shut up. Like, Lisa just refuses to be quiet.
Yeah, and now they're like having a whole other argument about who can talk. And Mary's like, "I'm really coming from a real place, and I don't want to hear your side. I want to hear it from the source," which is funny that Mary's saying it's coming from a real place when she's denying that she said such nasty things about Jen, right? And Lisa's like, "Well, I'm just giving my side." Well, you keep chiming in.
Yeah. And so she's like, "I want to talk to her. I really just want to talk to her." And she's like, "Well, oh, really? You want to talk to her so bad? Then why didn't you call her? Did you call her?" And she goes, "I don't even have your number, Jen." So she's like, "Oh, really? You could get her number." So now they're fighting about who's a better friend to Jen. These people are crazy.
And Mary goes, "Lisa is like the Tasmanian devil. Like, she'll start something and then she'll be saying something, but like maybe because she eats candy and like doesn't eat food and maybe her periods are bad. I don't know." Like, all her medical hot takes are always so like, out there.
Yeah. So Mary is like, "You know, you don't need to do this, Lisa. Just don't do it." She goes, "You're doing this to me right now." She goes, "Yeah, because you talked about her." She goes, "No, I did not. Jen.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. She talked about me and said, I was next to you. I was the next to you." And then Lisa goes, "I did not say that, Mary Crosby. I did not say that, Mary Crosby. That's a lie. And then Mary's like, "Did you say that? You guys don't have a backbone? You guys don't have a backbone?" And everyone's just like looking down because no one wants to be involved in this mess.
Right. And Lisa's like, "You guys, this is bullshit. You guys are all fat." And Meredith is like, "Do not talk to me about that."
"Is a fake friend a friend who has a cucumber infused vodka for you? I don't think so."
So Heather's like, I'm just sitting here, so don't come at us because you're on the point for not showing up for your friend. Okay. And when he's like, "Can I please have a conversation with Jen?" And Lisa's like, "Whatever, you know, just stop making it all about me, everybody."
So Mary's like, "You're making it about you and you keep on chiming in and I'm trying to talk to Jen and I care. I don't judge and I feel betrayal. If that's what the situation is because like who can't believe the FBI? Like they're not coming for you for no reason, right? No judgment, but also they're clearly in the right, right?"
So Lisa's like, "This is nuts. This is just nuts." And Jenny screams, "Okay, this is bullshit. Mary, I sat next to you, Mary." She goes, "Don't do that. Don't do that at me. Don't do that." She goes, "Yeah, well, you know what? I am doing it. And don't lie, Mary. She said you believe she did it. Don't lie because I was right next to you." And Mary's like, "Can I talk?" And she goes, "No, you can't talk because you're lying."
Now, I thought this was actually a pretty great moment for Jenny because Mary is actually full of bullshit during this scene. Like she's acting like she didn't talk any shit and she's like pretending to be non-judgmental but also basically like not believing anything that Jen is saying, which of course no one is. But then Mary is spewing bullshit and Jenny's kind of like, "You know what? Fuck you. Stop acting here and like bossing people around and acting like you didn't talk any shit. I'm sick of it." So I thought it was actually a really like I was like, "Ah, Jenny is finally having a proper moment."
Jenny's good at calling everybody on their crap for sure.
And she, like, people have really not been able to kind of, like step up to Mary when Mary's on her bullshit. And Jenny really was like, Jenny kind of shut Mary down, which was it was kind of amazing. Not that Mary is like some crazy over the top person, but just like Mary was like all, talking so much bullshit. Although admittedly, they all are at all times.
Right. So Mary's like, you're going to talk to me with respect. And she goes, do not tell me what to do. Oh, here we go. Back to it always goes back to your original fight on Housewives. Right? You don't tell me what to do. And she's like, oh, so are you going to look at me when you talk? Or are you going to look to everybody else? Which is also why Mary was mad at her the first time. And so she's like, I am looking at you, Mary. And she goes, okay, so what are you saying? That you don't care about me? No,
I know. Where did that come from?
And she's and like, then
Jenny's like, I'm not gonna fall for this game, right? Mary, Jenny just goes, no, I don't. She's just like, yeah. I don't care for you.
So Mary, first walk off of the day, Mary gets up and she's like, then I can leave. And she goes, there's the gate. Just go over that bridge, through the field, down a slide, and over another bridge, and you'll see it.
Just because you don't know me. And Jen's like, Mary, don't leave. She goes, I won't be called a liar. And then no one will tell me they don't care. No one. And Meredith is like, no, Mary, come on, I need you to stay. I don't want to sit here either. I mean, look, sitting here in the cold park and my little baby boy isn't even nearby. I don't want to be here either.
So they walk off and Meredith goes, I've had enough of this shit. Mary's like, me too. So they walk off and Mary's like, "That she doesn't even know me. Don't you dare call me a liar because the liars are sitting at that table. So still at the table, Jenny's like, oh my God, did you hear that? And Lisa's like, this is all bullshit. You know what? Listen, John, there was a myriad of emotions. I still have petest. What? I still have petest. What is that?
Pasta? No. Pasta. Pa-ta-has-da.
So Jen's like, you think I don't have it? You think I don't have PTSD?
That's Jen's favorite thing is to do the you think that I don't have fill in the blank. Although in this case, I think Jen actually wins out on it. She's like, you have PTSD from me getting arrested by three different government agencies?
And Lisa's like, I'm not diminishing what you're feeling. It's just not as bad as what I'm feeling. And Jen's like, I really hope that nobody goes through this. Okay, yeah, I hope nobody accidentally robs old people of their life savings. It's not a curb you tripped over, you know?
So she's like, I need to get up. I need to get my breath. I'm like, Jen, you're okay, though. You're okay, though. So now Jen and Mary are walking together. So they're walking off together. And Mary's like, okay, I'm always going to keep it real with you, which is funny because I never saw any good in you. Never said that to you, though. Those liars are sitting at the table, sweetheart. And I don't have to lie to you and you to know that. It is amazing what Mary is saying here, given what she said in Vail, right? Like, it was actually amazing, right? So Lisa back at the table is like, I'm like sick of the craziness, okay? It's like walking in and asking for a Diet Coke. And you get a tab instead. And then you find out the tab is just RC Cola. I'm sick of the craziness.
And Whitney's like, but you were the only one talking. You need to just take a breath and listen, Lisa. And she's like, no, I'm not going to take a breath because I'm being myself right now, okay? I'll take a deep breath when I feel like I'm better. And she goes, Lisa, I don't even have a problem with you right now. Why are you yelling at me?
Right now. It's like been a solid 5 minutes. I don't have a problem with you. What's the problem?
Yeah. And Whitney goes, I think Lisa just needs to shut up. I'm like, Whitney, you realize the reason why you and Mary are no longer friends is because Mary was trying to talk to Jen and you were doing the literal exact same thing that Lisa was just doing. And Mary got annoyed for the exact same reason and you wouldn't shut up until she finally snapped. And now you hate each other.
Yeah. And so she's like, Lisa needs to shut up. Shut the fuck up. Get it? So then Jen and Mary are now sitting on a bench and Meredith is talking to somebody. Who's Meredith talking to? Meredith goes back to the table. Right. Meredith comes back to the table.
She tells the table. She's going to the table. She makes right. Isn't this like where she like?
Yeah, she comes back to the table and she's like, you know what? You guys say you all want to be her friend and this is what you do to her. I'm the one who doesn't even like her and I'm sitting here calmly.
Like, that's because you don't like her, so you don't care.
Let her be. If you're her friend, be her friend. Am I right?
And Whitney's like, yeah, we need to stop making it about ourselves. It's like, oh my gosh, we all learned a lesson on Christmas. So then we go over to Mary and Jen, and Mary's like, now listen, I pray to God you're guilty. And Jen just looks at her, and she goes, oh, look, I said guilty. I meant innocent. Innocent.
I meant innocent. Jen goes, well, I am innocent. She goes, well, let's whatever the situation, like, do I follow it? No. No, I don't. Right. So then we go back over to Meredith saying, I'm not going to sit here and rip someone to their back and play their friend to their face. It's not cool. To me, that's what I would say is, wait for it. Starts with an F, ends with an E, sort of rhymes, and it rhymes with rake, but it's not a rake. That's right. That's what I call fink. There, said it.
And Lisa's like, you know what? I love you, Meredith, but I have a problem with us because I didn't rip her at all. And and she's like, well, someone did because she just left the table. And so now Lisa starts yelling. She's like, oh, what? Are you going to defend Mary? Are you going to defend what Mary just said? I hope not. I hope not because that's not okay. That's not okay, Meredith.
This is like super hurtful. I've been friends with Meredith for like 10 years, and it seems like there's a pattern here. Like, if it has to do with like Mary Cosby or Meredith and her family, it's okay to defend them. But when it comes to me, it's like, fend for yourself.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I kind of agree with that, you know, but we see what Meredith is doing is so obvious, right? She's like going to stick up for Mary because she's got an alliance with Mary. That's it. Mm-hmm. She's just going to stick up for Mary no matter what, no matter how wrong she is.
Yeah.
So then Mary, back with Mary and Jen, Mary's like, you know what I told myself? I said, I'm willing to be your friend this time. And I'm praying that you come out okay. And Jen's just like, I mean, what the fuck? I love an episode that makes Jen look like the calm, normal one. Because if this was anyone's first time watching this, you would think like, oh, poor Jen. She probably is innocent. Look at her. Just a poor little victim, you know?
Yeah, Mary praying that she comes out okay. Even though I see no good in you and I'm a friend, I'm afraid of you. I'm praying that you come out okay. So then Lisa is like, seriously, I'm like sick of it. Like, don't play fucking dumb. And Meredith is like, you know what? I can't. I love you guys. I gotta go. I'm going to dis in. Yep, 2 more seconds before I finish the word. Dis in. Why are you doing this? All right, I'm boarded. Okay, let's talk this out.
I just can't. I mean, I was traumatized, terrorized, and hurt with my family for 2 years, and now you're saying you're traumatized, disengaged. So she's like,
I can't listen to your PTSD, your third-ranked PTSD, when mine is number 2 and Jen is number 1. That is not the ranking that I approve of.
So Lisa's like, but that's like a whole nother subject. And she goes, no, it's not. And I told you not to include me. Jenny, thank you very much for this lovely lunch, which you never should have had in the first place. And she's like, but I was trying to make it peaceful. And then Lisa's just going, Meredith, 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 Meredith.
All right. Lisa, you have been screaming for half an hour, and I can't anymore, okay? I already got through an hour of Seth making gross comments in the closet, followed by another hour of Teddy on the table barking, followed by another hour of my little baby toddler Brooks walking around the kitchen saying, this is gross, every 2 seconds. I just can't do this anymore, Lisa.
Heather's cracking up that she's telling off Lisa. And Lisa's like, oh, so it's my fault. It's my fault. Ah! Ah! And Jenny's like, I just wanted everyone to talk. I was like, you just yelled at Mary for 2 solid minutes, lady. I like that Jenny's acting like she's the calm one of the group. No, ma'am. So then Heather's like, Mom and Dad are fighting. What should we do, guys?
So Lisa's like, oh, I guess it's all my fault. It's all my fault. And Mary's like,
no, I'm telling you, just because you're... just stop yelling in my face. I need you to speak quieter to me right now.
So
now that Lisa and Meredith walk off. So second walk off, third walk off. So Lisa's third. Like, can we just stop a second? Like, listen, you know, like Mary's coming at me and you're her friend. I mean, tell her to stop. Just tell her to stop. I mean, right now you can leave if you want to, or you could stay. But like, it's conflicting with what you just said about John, because you just came back and stood with her. But now you're going to leave. But then you're going to stand for her and you're going to leave me.
Well, because, listen, dum-dum, because you guys say you're friends with her, not me. This has nothing to do with me. I've disengaged a long time ago.
But you can sit there because you're my friend. And you can sit there right now because you're Jenny's friend. But you're also my friend. I think I found my speaking point. Okay, here we go. Come on, say something and I'll use my speaking point.
It's like, I need you. Could you stay for me? You make me feel safe.
Can you play that? Stay for me. Can you stay for me? Just stay for me. For me.
And Meredith hugs her, saying, "All right, God, fine. Just please stop saying that. Oh, will you stay for me? Stay for me. All right, just stop it. Stay for me. Stay for me." So they go. They hug more, and Lisa's like pretending to have this sobbing fit, but of course she's not crying at all. She's like,
"Yes."
So they go back to, now we go back to Mary and Jen, and Mary's like, you better buckle up because you've got a long road. Now prove your innocence. And Jen's like, yeah, I'm going to.
So she goes, walk back to the table knowing that. So now Meredith is back to the table. She's like, well, I'm back. And, you know, she asked me to stay for her. She wants my support. So I'm, even though I don't want to be here with any of you, I just want to really announce on the record that I'm doing this as a good engaged friend to Lisa.
So then Jen and Mary return, and Lisa's like, sorry we turned it into Jen. And Heather's like, yeah, we made it about us. And Lisa goes, and it's not about us. So Heather says, yeah, and if anyone understands how bad this is for you, it's us. It's like, I don't know what that really means, but okay. And Jen says, she starts her, you know, fake tears again. She's like, I just want you to know, I promise all my kids and my husband and my dad, I'm innocent. I did not do the things I'm being accused of. Now, you'll notice that under your plates, there's a paper asking for your social security number. Put it down.
And Lisa goes, I know it's a lot. And Heather goes, the world may seem against you, but there are people in your corner. Unfortunately, they're not at this table today, but there are some people in your corner.
Yeah, Mary goes, well, I wouldn't say that, Heather.
I know, Heather. I mean, Mary. And Jen goes, I just need people around me that believe in me and are there for me. Really? That's all? I'm like, sure. Okay.
Well, here's a napkin. See, look, I'm there for you. I'm like, what, nay? And Jen's like, yeah, believe in me. Be there for me. And so we just get music while they're all staring at each other. And then we get some really weird synthesizer coming in, like, blah, 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 blah. What the hell? This was a crazy, crazy episode. And I loved every second of it. I might watch it again on Christmas Eve.
It was amazing. The show is absolutely amazing. Just working on all fronts. So good.
So fun. All right, everybody. So that is our last recap of Salt Lake City for this year. Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy.
But we will be back every day until then. So we will see you guys later. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClelland.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters. The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors, always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Kristen the Ruby Rubano.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthews sisters. No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie. Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.